Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. Well, I'm going to jump right into it because we're going to get you out on time and we're going to do a little bit of ministry time at the end. But I'm somebody who I look forward to the new year. I don't know if anybody else feels like that. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter if the year was good or not. I just like new things. Like if it's new, I'm excited about it. And so when there's just something on the edge of flipping that calendar. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when you're flipping from one year to the other. In fact, I'm such a nerd that I enjoy getting new calendars. Is anybody else like me? Okay, a few of you, you're just like, a new calendar and I get to fill it all up with things. And I don't know why that is, but I love it. And I want to set you up tonight with some expectation for the new year. I want to set you up tonight to be able to jump in to 2020 and leave 2019 behind. Again, I don't know if it was a good or bad year. And either way, God is going to use this message to speak to you. But I know for myself, I can tend to get a little passive in my relationship with God. I can tend to get a little too comfortable. And I know if I'm not careful, and I know you're probably just like me, that being passive in my walk with God is going to delay God working in my life. It's going to delay some things by me sitting back and not actually moving forward and being with God and moving with God. And getting passive is so easy, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to stay the same. It's so easy to get into routine. But tonight, I want to encourage you to get out of that passivity and to jump into movement with God. Jump into movement with Him. You see, some things that we can know that we're getting passive about is when we start to say things like, well, life is what it is. And these are the cards that have been dealt to me. So if these are my cards, then what am I supposed to do? I'm just going to have to live with it. Maybe you start going through tough times and what starts to simmer to the top of your mind is not the word of God, but maybe phrases that you've grown up hearing. And they're things like, well, you know, I can't rock the boat. I'm just going to stay where I've always been. You know, I'm just waiting on the world to change. A little bit of John Mayer fans in the house. Okay, and you start to have those things. You start to think that way, you know. I'm just going to stay in my place, mind my own business. Hey, curiosity killed the cat, so I'm not going to get involved. And I'm telling you, God has something for you, but not when you're sitting back and being passive. See, being passive might have stalled your 2019, but I want to tell you that your curiosity in trusting God, in seeking God, is going to slay that giant that is before you in 2020. I am not telling you to run away from curiosity. I'm telling you to run to it. I'm telling you to run after it. You see, as Christians, sometimes we're told you can't ask the scary questions. You can't ask those questions. You just got to sit back and be a good little Christian. But I'm telling you, God is big enough to answer your scary question. He is a good God. He's not just a good God. He is called your father and your friend, which means that he's trustworthy enough to hold your heart and to say, I know you're going through something and let me help you through it. A lot of times we're not asking the right questions. We're asking why. God, why did this happen to me? But I think we need to move past the why and we need to get to what's next, God. What do I do to get over this? What do I do to get through this? How do I get around this? How do I conquer this? Instead of focusing on the why, we need to focus on how we are to get over it for 2020. You do not need to take that baggage of 2019 with you any longer. Leave it. Leave it. He is a strong enough God. So tonight, I want to tell you the title of my message, which is Curiosity Killed the Giant. Curiosity killed the giant. And I want you to be curious with God. When I say curious, I mean I want you to seek after him. Ask him those tough questions. Seek him in the word of God. Seek him in the house of God. Seek him with friends who follow after God. Do not be afraid of what he has for you. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's a really awesome story in the word of God. It's one of my favorite stories. But in order to appreciate it, I think we need a little background for it. Now, background, I think we all get it because have you ever watched those documentaries on Netflix? Like the ones that are like, you know, garlic, about garlic and about cheese. And we're like, you know what? I do want to know the background of where I'm getting my cheese. Like, that is really important to me. And then when it comes to the Word of God, sometimes we just take it, you know, yeah, whatever the preacher says, you know, that's what it is. And we don't want to dig deep into the background. I want to encourage you to dig deep into the Word of God. As you hear sermons in church, they should be a springboard for your studying at home. But today I want to tell you the background. Go ahead and turn to Numbers, I think it's 14, or Numbers 13. And I want to tell you what's going on. Listen, this is the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is basically a physical picture of a spiritual principle for us present day. So I'm going to say that again. The Old Testament stories, they're all true stories. These are not fables, they're all true stories. It is a physical picture of a spiritual principle that you and I can apply to our lives today. And here's Moses, and he has led God's people out of slavery. They have been in slavery for hundreds of years. He's led them out of it. You've probably heard the story. They crossed the Red Sea. They've been in the wilderness. They've seen miracle after miracle. God has provided. And now God is telling them, I want you to gather up 12 spies, Moses, and they are going to go look at the promised land. They're going to seek out the promised land, and they're going to see what's on the other side. So they went out. And they decided to take the 12. They went out, they looked, and they found some amazing things. They brought a report back to Moses, and this is what he said. Numbers 13, verse number 27. And it says, and this was their report. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it was indeed a bountiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, milk and honey may not be important to us today, but back then, what that meant was if there's milk, that means there's cows, and that means that there's cattle, and that means that there's a production of, hello, somebody, some cheese, okay? And so they were excited about that. And then if it's honey, that means that there's crops because there's bees. And so there was something for them instead of just the same old of the wilderness. See, God took them out of slavery, which was not enough. They did not have enough there, into the wilderness, where God provided just enough. And now they were going to someplace where they had never been in hundreds of years, and that was going to be more than enough for them. The land of milk and honey, the promised land. And it says, here's the kind of fruit that it produces. And they brought back with them, it said two men had to carry these grapes from the promised land. I mean, how amazing would that be? They were huge grapes that everyone got to enjoy, and they brought it back, and they brought back what seemed like a good report. But then they said in verse number 28, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. And we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people down because he could tell this was taking a turn. Like, have you ever been in a conversation? You're like, wow, this is taking a turn for the worse. And I did not expect that. And this was Caleb. And he was trying to quiet the people down as he stood before Moses. And he says, let's go at once to take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. And he was, you know, ready for everyone else to say, yeah, who's with me? He said, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes in there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. There's a lot of bad news being spread, a lot of bad gossip that these guys were saying. There was only two of them who were encouraged, and that was Caleb and Joshua, who were saying, no, we can take them. But the rest of them said things like, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Next to them. See, next to, a lot of us will say, next to my coworker, I don't think I'm going to get that promotion. Or, you know, next to my parents, I'll never be good enough. or next to the goody two-shoes in church, you know, who seems perfect, I don't even feel like I have the right to sit in church, Pastor Michelle. And next to the person on Instagram with all the followers and all the attention, I feel about this big. And we began to shrink ourselves down just like those spies did when they saw the giants. It says we became like grasshoppers. Next to them, I feel so dumb because they're so smart. And we compare and compare. And Pastor Eleanor has said this. I think we've quoted it 100. This is her most quote, okay? When you compare yourself to someone, someone always gets smaller. Doesn't matter who it is, whether it's you or them. That's why comparison isn't good in the kingdom of God. It's not what it's for. You know, they said things like, we felt like grasshoppers. We felt little. We felt feeble. We felt unqualified, undertrained, mismanaged, set up for failure. They felt like grasshoppers. See, some of you may say, well, I feel like because I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just? Just? Why are you just a stay-at-home mom? Don't shrink yourself down. Well, I feel like because I'm just, you know, and we can fill in the blank with whatever it is. And you'd begin to say, well, I can't fight a giant because I don't have a degree and I don't have money and I grew up on the wrong street down in San Bernardino. What makes me feel like I can fight a giant? And you see yourself as a grasshopper when you are not a grasshopper. You are a child of God. And you need to let that rise up in your spirit. See, feelings can rob us. They can rob us of great things. And I know you're ready for me to say, I don't want you to trust your feelings, right? Because that's what we hear in church all the time. Don't trust your feelings. Just stop, right? And maybe you're thinking to yourself, how am I supposed to do that? But I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to say, change your feelings. You have the ability to change those feelings. Inside of you is the Spirit of God. And his promises in the word tell us that we can have a renewed mind. His promises in the word tell us that we are not grasshoppers. And those feelings where you shrink yourself down, oh, I'll never be a good enough husband. I'll never be a good enough wife. And we shrink ourselves. Those feelings are not facts. Those are not the facts. The fact is that in the word of God, there is so much good about you. But you've got to fill yourself up with the word of God. You've got to fill yourself up with those things. So point number one on curiosity killed the giant. How do you kill a giant? Is that you need to get curious on who you are. Get curious about who you really are. Because you are no grasshopper. That is not who God created you to be. You are no small thing. All right, my kids, how many people had an amazing Christmas? You guys had a good Christmas? Got all your kids the presents, nieces and nephews. For a long time, my kids were obsessed with these things called Shopkins. Have you guys ever heard of them? There are these little toys. I have a picture of them if we have them up there. There are these little toys, and they're about this small, and every kid wants them, and they're itty-bitty. They are so tiny, and they want hundreds of them, okay? And now toy makers have come up with the idea that, you know what, the smaller we make the toys, the more the kids want, and the faster they'll lose them. So we have to keep buying all these itty-bitty toys all the time that kids lose, and they're really cute, and they're really small, and in fact, now adults are collecting really small miniature things. Have you seen that? Like they've taken a Pringles box and they've shrank it down and it's really cute and it's just so cute. And adults are now collecting these little itty bitty miniatures. And I don't know if you've ever wasted 3 minutes on Facebook watching somebody bake a cake in a dollhouse. Has anybody ever done that? Like people are, and I'm like, why did I just waste 3 minutes of my life? But people are making cakes with dollhouse equipment and I don't get it, okay? But it's really small, and it's really whimsical, and it's really cute, and that's for toys. You're not a toy, and you're not whimsical, and you're not this little small thing, okay? And maybe in 2020, you wanted the preacher to come tell you that you're going to lose some weight and get really, really tiny, but I'm telling you guys, it's time to bulk up, okay, spiritually. You are no small thing. The Spirit of God is inside of you wall to wall. When God decided to create something in his image, he created you. He picked you up from the dust of the earth. He blew into your lungs and he said, this is who will represent me. This is who will look like me. This is who I will give the authority on earth to, you and I. And we can believe the devil and his grasshopper theology, or we can dig our noses into the word of God and we can realize we're bigger than this. We're bigger than this. We need some spiritually fit girls to rise up. Come on. Come on. And the guys can get some gains or something. I don't know. CrossFit or something like that. Listen, when you start discovering who you are, not everybody's going to get it. You ever been so excited about yourself? Maybe you got a new haircut or new outfit. Maybe you lost some weight and you think everyone, did you notice I lost 2 pounds? You know, and you're just waiting for people to tell you, you know. And some people don't like it when you start discovering who you are. In fact, if you notice, Caleb and Joshua weren't afraid of the giants, but the other 10 were. And the majority is not always right. So when you find like you stick out like a sore thumb, and you look at the world and you say, am I the only crazy one? Like, am I crazy or are they crazy? Because it seems like everyone else is crazy, but I swear my mind is right. Take heart, because Caleb and Joshua were the same way. Caleb, and if you've always felt like you never fit in with the crowd, that's okay, baby, because you're called to lead it. You're called to be the leader. So rise up and lead it. You're not a grasshopper. You need to get a vision of that promised land for yourself. See it for yourself. Caleb and Joshua saw it and they were never, never going back to that wilderness. They went on the coasts of the Mediterranean Sea. They went into the valleys where there was fruit and there was cattle. And they said, I can't live in the wilderness anymore. See, you got to get that vision for your life. I can't go back to that old marriage. I can't. We got to go to counseling, honey. We got to get some help. We got to read a book or something, okay? Maybe you say, well, I can't go back to those old friends. I just can't go back because I felt what it's like to get out of toxic friendships, and I've got godly friends now. I can't go back to that life of addiction because I've looked over the hills, and I've seen the promised land, and I've got a vision for my life. Get a vision. Get a vision. It's okay to do that. You are worth it to do that. Jesus died for you to do that. They did it. You can do it. What giant training are you in to conquer that giant? What type of training do you see yourself in? Is it college to get that job, to get you off of that neighborhood that you grew up in, but you know you want more for your family? To go to school, what do you need? Taste that fruit. Taste that fruit of godly parenting. See it as you raise your kids up the way God has called you to raise them up. Not as the world, but as God has called you to raise them up. And you know what? Back to being different from the world. You just need to get used to being different from the world. Okay? Just get used to it. And as you are raising your kids to be godly, this is a common phrase in our parenting. We're just different. Honey, I know that they're doing that, but we are just different. And when you taste the fruit of raising your kids right, I'm telling you, you do not want to go back. You do not want to go back. Caleb and Joshua had a taste of the promised land, so you need to dream a little bit. Take some time out as this year, you know, this week is kind of like one of those in-between weeks, right? It's going to be the new year. It still kind of feels like the holidays. Get yourself at a coffee shop and start dreaming for yourself. Start dreaming. It's okay. Get a vision. I want to speak to those who maybe feel like they are retired and you don't have anything to offer. I want to tell you that is a grasshopper thought. Get a vision for the young people and the people in your world that you can pour into, because we want it. Young people, get a vision for your life so that you realize that with God, this life that we have is a gift. And what you give to him is worship. So young people, do that. Middle-aged people, we need a nap, okay? We are tired. We have young kids, and that's what we're going to do. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. in Numbers 14:7. This is what it says. And they said to all the people, this is Caleb and Joshua talking. It says, the land that we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. See, what began to happen is those people who started the rumors and the bad report that spread throughout the Israelites, they began to rise up and they said, you know what? We want a new leader. We don't want Moses, and we want to go back to Egypt, and we want to go back to slavery. And they began to start this ruckus and this uprising of wanting to go back to slavery. And Caleb and Joshua began to quiet them down, and they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. Numbers 14, verse number 8. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. Can you see how much they thought of themselves? And that was godly. That was godly. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But they were afraid. They didn't get it. So point number two tonight is get curious on facing your fears. Get curious about it. Start to ask yourself, why do I have those fears, God? Why does that stop me? Why does that scare the living daylights out of me? Why am I so scared to move forward in this? Why am I so scared to always be there, not want to be faithful to my family? Why? And ask yourself why you're afraid of certain things. Get curious about it. See, Caleb and Joshua were begging their friends that they walked across the dry Red Sea, hand in hand. They saw the miracle of God, and they were saying, why would you ever go back to slavery? Why would you ever go back to bondage? Why would you ever go back to not enough when God told us over there, there is more than enough? They couldn't get it. Instead, they wanted a new leader. See, sometimes going backwards seems so logical in our mind. Have you ever done it? Like going back to that person? Going back? In fact, have you ever thought about your exes and you're just thinking, why? 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 Okay. It's normal. Don't worry. What were we thinking? And then the thoughts of just going back, it just seems just not logical. There's a story in the 1900s, and now the story may seem spooky to you, so before you start rebuking me, I just want to tell you it all has a medical explanation. But in the early 1900s, there was this house that this family moved into. It was this huge abandoned house, and it was really run down. And it was a three-story house, and it was just a family of five that moved in. And as soon as they moved in that week, just some really weird stuff started happening. And they started hearing things. So they heard like footsteps. In fact, the mom swears she heard footsteps the floor above her. It sounded so much that it sounded like somebody was moving furniture upstairs. So she runs up there and she goes up there to look, and there was nobody. And so things just kind of got even weirder after that. In fact, she was making breakfast one day and her son runs in and he's only about 4 years old. He said, Mom, did you call me? And she said, No, I didn't call you. He said, No, I know you called me. And she said, I didn't call your name. And he said, Then who called me? And all she could tell him was, well, it was probably just the wind, but everything started to freak her out. In fact, things got even more weird where the plants started dying inside of the home, and it started to get really creepy. In fact, it felt like their nightgowns were just being jerked off them. And the creepiest thing of all was when her and her husband woke up startled in the middle of the night, and sitting on the edge of their bed was another man and woman in a big bonnet just staring at them. Creepy. So at that point, they decided to call the brother who was a professor. And he said, I started doing some research on what you're going through, and I think you're being poisoned. And so they said, okay. He said, I want you to connect with another professor. They're going to come and run some tests. And so they bring in that professor. They run some tests. And sure enough, they had been poisoned. The furnace was not exhausting the carbon monoxide out of the house. It was actually exhausting it into the house. And so they had been getting slowly poisoned. And back then, it was just as bad as sitting in your garage and turning on your car with the garage door closed. It was bad. So as soon as they fixed the exhaust, all the symptoms disappeared. All of it disappeared. And see, fear is a lot like a slow poison. You don't smell it. You don't taste it. You don't even see it till all of a sudden things start dying around you. And you don't even feel like yourself anymore. And you think you start hearing voices and you start seeing things and you start thinking, well, I'm pretty sure that person's talking about me because the way that they're looking at me, or when I text them, they just said, yeah, instead of saying, okay, and now I'm really paranoid, okay? And we start to let fear run our lives because we've let that slow poison just kind of seep in and change some things. But I'm telling you right now, tonight, when you get curious about why you're afraid and go to God, the way maker, the one who can do all things, the one who will defeat that fear giant in your life, you're not gonna get that poison anymore. Just like they fixed that exhaust. Get curious about it. Fear is so deceiving. Did you know that Moses and the boys and the Israelites, they'd already defeated a giant before? Did you know that? That when they went to go look at the promised land, I believe that they were so afraid because they saw the Amalekites. And in Exodus 17, they already had a battle with the Amalekites. And it was a supernatural battle. And it was one where, if you remember, Moses was holding up his rod. And if he could hold it up, then they would win the battle. But as soon as it was going down, you know, they would lose. And Joshua was on the floor saying, Aaron, hold his hands up, okay? And they would hold up his hands. And it was a supernatural win. But these guys were slaves. And they didn't have any war training. They didn't have any weapon training. They were thrown into it. And while it built Caleb and Joshua, somewhere along the way, the Israelites let that break them. And they begin to leave a residue of fear on inside of them. Like if you have a crazy scar maybe on your body, you can think back to how much pain that was. You know, if anyone has been pregnant in this room and you've had morning sickness from something, most likely you cannot smell that thing ever again. Like, even if you're not pregnant, like if you had a favorite perfume and you got sick, then you got to say bye to that favorite perfume forever. Because it feels like it makes you sick forever. It's like a residue in your mind that you can't get rid of. And pain and fear can make you feel that way. It can make you feel like, well, I don't want to open that up again. That painful memory, that painful experience. But if you open it up, listen, if you open it up, God is big enough to heal it all. There is a promised land for you, but you've got to get curious about that fear. You've got to get curious about it. In Numbers 14:9, they're saying this to the people again, begging them, say, do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. See, when we submit to our fears, even though we know what God wants us to do, even though you know what God has promised you and called you to do, it's an act of rebellion, of us saying, you know what, God? You do your thing, I'm gonna do my thing. I'm gonna go back to Egypt. I'm gonna go back to bondage. Because I think I'm safe there, than rather being with God in the land of more than enough. It's time to face those fears. Do not take those fears with you to 2020. Last point for tonight is this. Get curious on your next move. Curiosity killed the giant, and you and I need to get curious on our next move. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. See, your courage today affects people and the future generations tomorrow. Your courage of saying, you know what, I'm going to have a godly marriage. I'm going to have a godly relationship with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I'm going to have a godly life. It's going to affect not only yourself, but the people around you, because guess what? They are looking. They are checking you out. They are trolling you on Instagram to see what your church really is like, okay? They are looking and they're watching you. And those steps that you make, that courage is going to help others. That courage to get out of debt, to get out of poverty, to stop having that poverty spirit or mentality, that's gonna affect future generations. Future generations. Follow God. His ways are better than our ways and his understanding. But we've got to trust him. We've got to trust God for our next move. In 1955, there was a 42-year-old seamstress. She just got off of work. She got onto the bus. She was tired. The bus was already crowded. She sat down towards the front. People just kept getting on. Finally, the bus was full. Then the bus driver got onto the microphone. And he said, I need all the black passengers to stand up, move to the back so all the white passengers can sit down. This was segregation. This was wrong. So then a 42-year-old woman, in her silent strength, sat there in her seat. She would not get up. The bus driver went to her and said, ma'am, please get up. If you don't, I'm going to have to get arrested. And she said, sir, why do you keep pushing us around? And I quote her, okay? And then he said, I don't know. This is just the way it is. She sat in that seat. He went and got two police officers. They booked her. That woman was Rosa Parks. You guys know who she is. And in her silent strength and in her courage to make a decision that enough is enough, what was her next move? It was to sit there in that strength and decide that this isn't right. Well, that began a 13-month bus boycott. Now, there had been bus boycotts before, but this one really took some momentum. So much momentum that people were saying, well, somebody needs to be the face of this. Somebody needs to represent it. So they looked to a 26-year-old minister, and his name was Martin Luther King Jr., and they said, he needs to represent us. So they picked him. He rose to the top. And because of her strength and that courage that day, then all of a sudden propelled this man of God to change America. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? What is your next move? Because God wants to use you. All she did was sit there one day after work because she didn't want to get up. Yeah, girl, that sounds logical. Okay, we get it. But it changed so much, so much. Years later, after Joshua and Caleb, you know, they fought and they stood up against the giants. Years later, there was a young guy named David who wandered onto a battlefield bringing his brother some lunch. And he said, what's going on here? And they said, there's a giant. And he's making fun of God. And he said, well, that isn't right. And he said, I'm going to take him out. Because of that courage that Joshua and Caleb had years ago, because he knew that giants had been defeated once long ago, he knew that, you know what, with God, they had God, with God, with God's promises, I can make this move. I can do this. So with three smooth rocks, again, another miracle. It says in Samuel 17:45, and David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And he took him out. Listen, David, that was in his first fight. Remember, he battled against the bear and against the lion? And those battles could have broke him, but they built him. See, the battles that you went through, they're not there just to break you. God turns everything around for good. It wasn't maybe God's will that those things happened to you, but sure enough, he's going to use that to build your spiritual muscle. He turned it around. And he knew that, you know what, if I could defeat the bear and the lion, then surely I can defeat this giant. Then we move on to the next book, which is 2 Samuel. Come on, somebody, your courage today changes lives tomorrow. In 2 Samuel 21:22, It says, these four Philistines were descendants of the giants of Gath, but David and his warriors killed them. It wasn't just David, but his warriors are now there saying, if David did it, if Joshua and Caleb did it, then I can do it. Be somebody's courage today. Be an example today. God wants to use you. And now the Old Testament courage shuffles down to us here in 2019, ready to step over into 2020. That courage is here for us. What are you facing today? What are you looking at today saying, I just don't know if I can take it out. I just don't know if I can do this. Listen, it's baby steps. It's little next moves. It's the little things that give you courage. Listen, if I'm afraid of something, I most likely am just gonna do it so I can get over it. I don't know if anyone else is like that, but it's like, I'm just gonna do it so I can just get over it. I just wanna say I could conquer it. I just wanna say I could own it. And we need to be like that in our life, to just step up to it. Apply for that job in 2020. Can I have a word for people who are saved and born again and single? Ask that person out, okay? Just go for it. Make a move, 2020, okay? What is the worst that's gonna happen? They'll say no? Just... The godly person, okay? Listen, God is asking you to move towards something, but he also may be asking you to move away from some stuff. You may have been hearing me preach as I'm preaching. You already know the Holy Spirit's been telling you what to do this whole time. Maybe it's to delete some numbers. Maybe it's to get out of some toxic environments. Maybe it's to take, you know, you as a couple to some Christian marriage counseling and get some help. It's okay to make those steps. It's healthy. It's good. On the crest of this mountaintop is a promised land for you. You've got to keep that vision before you. I want to just speak a verse over you. This is my last verse for tonight. I want you to close your eyes real quick. I want you to close your eyes and let me just speak this over you. In John, 1 John 4:4. As all these giants can seem so big, I want you to leave with this verse. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in this world. God's spirit is living inside of you. Let that sink in. You've already won the victory. Now just step into it. Don't live passive, but get curious with your walk with God. Amen. Did you get something out of that today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.